Excuse. Oh, she's got the flu now. The House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger. Blake.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft. Kraft. Davison. Edmonds,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Miller,
Moniz,
here. Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson excused, Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne, Throne, Vronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Bird.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Throne.
Excuse.
Throne excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made all the people of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the members of the House of Representatives of this state a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty for the good of the whole, in accordance with your gracious will, and that the fruits of the labor of these representatives will be to the benefit of Wyoming and to your glory. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the Journal of February 8, 2011 has been read, recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparic, Representative Freeman.
I'm going to do the doctor of the day here real quick, and we have Dr. Maria Cornelius from Casper back in the back. Welcome, doctor. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, in the, I never know which gallery this is, North Gallery, we have a number of folks from the UW Family Practice Residency Program, which is in my district, actually a couple blocks from my house, so I always have medical attention close by if I need it. We have Crystal Huntrods, Jessica Fonseca, and Jonathan Beatty, who are all pharmacy students, along with Whitney Buckley, who's a pharmacy professor. We have Dr. Rob Munger, who's with the UW Family Practice Program, and then residents, and I apologize if I get the names wrong, Christine Behringer, Nima Azerbaiyi, Sandra Plybon, and David Dancy, all of whom are with the residency program. Let's welcome them.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Folks in behind up here and over here, we have a Wyoming Futures class, and I just have to stick up for their fearless leader, Professor Pete Simpson. Let me tell you a little bit about him for those that don't know him. He's born in Cody. He graduated from Cody, graduated from UW with his bachelor's, then he got his PhD from Oregon, went in the military. He served at UW. He resigned there to run for governor of this great state. And on his retirement, at the young age of 75 or something, he went back to teaching Wyoming Futures class. And with him, he has a bunch of kids. If you'll hold your applause, let me just read them all. Michelle Honier of Laramie, Cody Riley of Rock Springs, James Wilson of Cody, Allison Strube. Let's see, graduate student Laramie, Rusty Russ, Green River, Lauren Johnson, Bighorn, Michael Armstrong, Big Piney, Heather Hafey of Pinedale, Chris Ehrman of Gillette, Anjanita Blankton. I'm murdering names, but help me out here. From Los Angeles, California, Paul Bennick, an Iraq veteran from Gillette, Brian Broderson from Laramie, Sania White, Cody, Sydney Moeller of Cody, Cameron Miller of Warland, Steve Vetter of Laramie, Charlotte Yost of Ohio, Lania Martin from Laramie, Laura Lynch from Laramie, Marco Rubel, Cody, Helena Wagner of Wheatland, and I hope I didn't lose the last name or the last page, but you folks have been nice enough to talk to some of these, and they really appreciate you talking to them on the areas of their concern. They want to be more involved with the legislature, find your ideas of things that they can internalize and make Wyoming a better place. So, Mr. Pete, Dr. Pete Simpson, thank you very much for being part of Wyoming and bringing your kids over here and making them part of Wyoming, and welcome here. Thank you. Yeah, stand up there. Let us see you.
We're at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 106 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, no. Stewart, Wallace, excused. Pedersen, signed, representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 117, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 135, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 99, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Goggles, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Vronish, no. Madden, signed, representing Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 18, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish, Swanitzer, Dave, signed, representing Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 42, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish, Swanitzer, Dave, signed, representing Korberg, Chairman.
We're at that order of business bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by the Capital Financing and Act relating to administration of government. State Treasurer reports.
Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, I don't have an amendment. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by the Judiciary, Act relating to children in need of supervision.
Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, introduced by the Court Judiciary, Joint Judiciary Committee, an act relating to court jurisdiction.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one. We had this discussion yesterday. And I just wanted to come back to the discussion. It's dealing with what I consider probably one of the most important bills we will look at all session. Because without this bill, none of the other bills make any sense. Because if we don't have the rule of law, you cannot enforce the other laws. And as to remind you from yesterday, when the former Chief Justice tells us that our court system is slow and ineffective, I think his actual words were slow and costly. We have a problem. And so we're trying to find different solutions. And I expressed to you yesterday that I wasn't sure that this bill was one of those solutions. But after speaking yesterday, I certainly got the phone calls and the emails from, I'm pretty sure, almost every judge in the state. I'm pretty confident I will never be a judge myself now. So I wanted to come back and look at some of the numbers. And the difficulty is that, again, what we're trying to do potentially with this bill is, as was explained yesterday by the good representative from Cheyenne, we're short about almost three district court judges, but you're long about three circuit court judges. So there's room to be shifting from district down to circuit. In terms of the judges, the clerks was what I was talking about a little bit yesterday. But if we're really going to do this, then we need to do what actually makes sense, and that is to increase the jurisdictional amount, not just to 50, but to 100,000. When you get to 100,000, 100,000 to me is more the magic number, that's when you actually start to see change. And the numbers are hard to break down, but I have them for every district and every county. And it's difficult is because they've broken them down as to what would be a contract or tort case in their courts. It looked like they had more difficulty figuring out which ones of those were under a certain amount. So we know how much just generally they have for contract cases and generally how many tort cases they have. It gets more difficult when you start trying to determine values of those. So potentially they have some numbers potentially of transference from district to circuit. But again, not real clear. What they do know, and this is just, you can think this through yourself. If you get to 100,000, then you're starting to move a lot of the cases that a lot of people care more about. These are the cases where you've gotten into a business dealing, something's gone wrong, you need to get into a court of law to get this straightened out. Those are a lot of those cases between 50,000 and 100,000 that are sitting in district court that are not getting resolved in a timely manner. If you could transfer those down to circuit court, they could be handled in a more timely manner. The reason that I don't like the 50,000 is when you actually, and this came from the district court clerks, when you actually started looking at the numbers on the 50,000, really what you were transferring was a lot of collection cases. You weren't getting to those type of cases that we're talking about that we really need to be grappling with. So what this amendment does is moves it from 50,000 to 100,000 for the circuit court jurisdiction. It also, if someone wants to divide the amendment, they certainly could, but I put them both in the same amendment. The first part of that amendment is changing the small claims. One of the things that I think we all really appreciate about small claims is that you can go to small claims court. You don't need an attorney. You can go there. It has different rules of evidence, different rules of discovery. Things can move very quickly in small claims. That's where people can get their issues resolved in a quick, efficient manner. We have not raised the small claims amount for a very lengthy period of time. And I actually asked this question during interim of one of the people presenting, and I said, how do we determine what the proper amount for the small claims jurisdiction is? And they said, what a lot of states look to is the value of a used car, which I thought was, I was expecting some amazing answer of analysis, but actually that does make sense. So actually I appreciated that answer because that answer made a lot of sense, that what you do is you look toward the value of a used car. So moving it from 5,000 to 10,000 would speed things up in small claims court. You could get more cases into small claims. Again, small claims is handled by the circuit court judge, and we're being told that we have about three extra circuit court judges. And it's not technically three extra. When you add up all their caseload across the state, that's what it equals. So they could handle that extra small claims, and I believe they could handle the extra cases of transferring for the 100,000. So that's what the amendment does, and I would stand for any questions.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, initially I was very concerned that we were creating problems by going to the $100,000, and then after he got into the explanation of the $10,000 and the small claims court, you know, for me it makes a lot of sense now, and I certainly appreciate what the pro tem brought to us, because small claims court basically opens the door for people to take care of problems that really shouldn't be going through a large court system, and common sense discussions before a judge, I think is vital for the citizens of the state of Wyoming. And I just, like I said, I initially had some real problems with the amendment, but after he explained it, I would hope that people vote for it, because in particular the $10,000 opened the door for you to take care of, you and the citizens in the state, to take care of those problems that don't really need a lot of legalese. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There was a comment from the good Speaker Pro Tem that we haven't changed the small claims amount in a while, and just wanted clarification because I had some information from some of the circuit court judges that in 2005 we almost doubled it from 3,000 to 5,000. And so first I need some clarification on that, and then also had an understanding that the circuit courts generally were not in support of changing that small claims amount and thought that that might undermine their ability to manage cases, and just wanted some response to that.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good gentleman from Casper is correct. It was, I guess, my definition of a while is 6 years. On the other issue of circuit court judges being hesitant to raise the small claims, I thought the best explanation we got was from one circuit court judge, and he was explaining the hesitancy of raising small claims. And the reason being, I thought it was a great answer, he said all his other cases he deals with, he can look at the file beforehand, he can look at it the day before, he can go look some cases up, and he can be very prepared for that case coming up. With the small claims, he described it, and he does his small claims, I think he said on Monday mornings, every Monday morning in small claims. He said it's like taking a law school exam every Monday morning because you have no idea what's coming at you. You sort of have a little bit from the filings, but you really don't know until the person's sitting in front of you. And he says some of the more complicated issues that he hasn't thought about since law school comes up, where people have some very interesting points of view on what their legal action entails. So there was concern. That was the main concern that I heard, was that that the small claims can be quite complicated, almost more complicated than your regular caseload, which after his explanation actually made sense to me. I think that was some of the concern, and that was the concern I heard during the interim on that issue.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. And stand still. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15 has been adopted. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 15.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 15 has been withdrawn. Senate File 15 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to probation and parole.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, this is a simple amendment that goes to page 2 of the bill, section 79103, which is about orders of restitution that individuals are obligated to pay. Our Division of Victim Services is often one of those areas where the convicted are obligated to pay and into the crime victim fund, and so it adds the division into line 19. So to satisfy a judgment, the clerk, upon the request of the victim or the district attorney or the Division of Victim Services. And if there are no questions, I'll ask for the question.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17 has been adopted. Senate File 17 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 22.
Senate File 22, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to wind energy property rights.
Senate File 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to mail ballot elections.
Senate File 23, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28.
Senate File 28, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation for state parks volunteers.
Senate File 28, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles, off-road vehicle definition.
Senate File 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to off-road vehicle trails, state parks trails.
Senate File 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to travel and tourism, film industry financial incentives program.
Senate File 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 110.
Senate File 110, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to school capital construction, school facilities, commission reorganization.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment to Senate File 110, ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of this bill, School Facilities Commission Reorganization, reminded me of an effort I put forth a few years ago to address a longstanding problem in what I see in consolidation of schools in our state. My amendment basically, in summary, will require approval of the Select School Facilities Committee, our legislators, prior to a school facility commission submission for recommendation, combining or consolidating schools. Friends and neighbors, what we found is that consolidation of schools in Wyoming it's a big deal. And when a small community looks at the loss of their school, it is no less than the death of our small communities. When some of our small communities are faced with these decisions, you can pack a gym full of concerned parents and citizens. What we found when we look at the statutes, we find that the commission has the authority to do this, meaning these are appointed people and not subject to the election process. And when we were faced with some events in my district where some schools were being consolidated, a lot of the citizens were quite frankly surprised that a decision of such impact to our small towns could be made by appointed people and not duly elected people. So, Mr. Speaker, with my amendment, from the bill on page 29, there in our statutes, paragraph C is missing from the bill. So what we're looking at here in my amendment, you'll see paragraph C in its entirety, and adding in some language that when, in order to deliver quality educational services, the commission, in consultation with and subject to the approval of the Select Committee on School Facilities, may recommend consolidating educational facilities. You know, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we all are here to do some good things for our kids and accept the responsibility for our education system. And I just can't tell you how shocked our citizens are when it comes to one of the most important decisions that can be made for our school, its kids, and our communities. We have intentionally abdicated that responsibility to appointed people, and I would maintain that this should have some oversight, legislative oversight, and I would stand for questions.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, on and I guess against this, it's not really a, if you read the language without the amendment, and all this is about consolidating schools within a district. That's all this is. And so if you read it without the amendment, the commission in consultation with the Select Committee on School Facilities, and then the key word is may recommend. There's no shalls or anything else in this. This is a real collaborative process. And I don't want you to think that the School Facilities Commission is coming around the state consolidating schools and closing schools. And of course, if any districts are going to be consolidated, as it expressly says on the bottom of that paragraph, that's our deal here on this floor. And so this amendment has come to us a couple different times. We've defeated it every time. I think there's also an issue with the legislative branch being out of session, kind of having to pass judgment on an executive branch decision really to grant approval. We've already given that approval through statute. And so I think, again, we've looked at this before. We've defeated it before, and I'd urge you to defeat it again. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to discuss a little bit about this issue of having a select committee of the legislature having what's called extra legislative powers. And this summer I actually had a memo done on some other issues where sometimes we've placed legislators on committees that are executive branch committees where they have the power to vote to approve funding and things like that. And the memo came back a little essentially saying we have to be careful when you give one legislator more power than another legislator, because what we've normally done with select committees is that a select committee can look at an issue and they can approve a recommendation to the full legislature, but we all vote on it, such as Select Water comes up with what their projects would, what they're recommending. It comes to us as a bill. We vote on it as a body. Or the Select Committee on Natural Resources comes up with the projects that are over, I think it's over 200,000. Those come to us as a bill, and we voted on it as a body. What this is saying is that that Select Committee on School Facilities will make a decision separate and distinct from the rest of this body. And I'm not sure if we that would be a setting a new precedent here where you're allowing a committee to make a decision without bringing it back to the full body, and I would be against that idea.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the amendment. I appreciate what the amendment is trying to do. I think any time you close a small school, you kill a community. I don't believe that an independently appointed board appointed by the man downstairs should have the authority, that kind of authority. I think the bar should be higher. That being said, I do share some of the concerns that the Speaker Pro Tem has shared, and would suggest that maybe we ought to look at an amendment later on in the process to allow the full body to decide whether or not we're going to close a school. But I'm going to support the amendment, and I would encourage you to do so as well.
President Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposal is without a doubt in good spirit. Trying to consolidate schools is kind of like trying to brand a three-year-old bull in an open corral and a hot iron and only two hands. By the time you got through with it, you might be successful, but everybody's angry, including the bull. Reorganization is the term that was used before and it still exists in the statutes. And if we could in some way encourage reorganization to include secondary education as opposed to primary education, we probably would do more to advance the productivity of our educational K through 12 operations. Although the spirit is good here, its implementation is just fraught with problems. Having been involved in the reorganization business once before, I would support this measure, subject to the fact that it needs to be amended and changed, hopefully in a more peaceful way, such as reorganization, which does involve the districts and the people themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The School Facility Commission has had the opportunity to consolidate buildings within a district from day one. So if you've got one district that has 6-7 towns, then they can consolidate those buildings, consolidate those schools. It's happened in one of my school districts. And I think that what we're talking about is consolidating district to district. Am I right? Because that's the question that I have. If we're talking about closing an elementary school in this town and a middle school in this town and an elementary in this town and consolidating them all into one town, then that's one thing, because there are some economies of scale that do benefit, although it is detrimental to the community. The question is, are we going to allow the commission or the select committee to decide between consolidation of one school district with another school district? That's my question.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and in favor of this amendment. And I'm not really sure that it really matters that we've given this authority to the commission from day one. The reality of it is, to give a commission the authority to make this decision based just solely on the cost and the size of the building and what it's going to look like and what town it's going to be in, without taking into account all of the other factors that are surrounding that consolidation, that's just not prudent decision making, to just base it on one thing, the planning and the building or the retooling of the current facility that's there. So to make that decision based on one factor, which would be the facility itself, in my opinion, is not responsible decision making. So in lieu of a better option, I am on and in favor of this amendment.
You know, as for the first time, Chairman Brown, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an area that I'm hesitant to wade into. I'm just simply going to say this. We have a school facilities commission, and it's made up of the persons who are appointed. The membership and the appointment are in the bill. I had it a minute ago and I lost my place. Then we have the select committee. And the select committee is five members from the Senate, five members from the House, not more than three members from the same political party. Now, the thing that just troubles me as a legal matter is exactly what the representative previously spoke to, and that is, you're going to take five and five out of that body, which is 5 out of 30, five out of this body, which is 5 out of 60, and under this amendment, you're going to give them veto power over the decisions of this commission. If we say in consultation with, then they certainly have to talk to each other. There's some accountability. There's going to be accountability down the road when the legislature acts. But if this amendment passes, you're going to take those 10 people and you're going to provide them with veto power. That gives them an elevated influence over this, far above what we have and far above what any of us have. And sure, that eventually comes back to accountability, but how long is that going to take and all the machinations of elections and turnover in the legislature? So that troubles me about this amendment. I guess I'm not going to speak on or against it, but that is the effect, is that you take 5 out of 30 on one side, 5 out of 60 on the other side, and elevate them to a veto status over the commission, which is already appointed to do this work. And if you defeat this amendment, then there's consultation. If you pass this amendment, it's absolute veto power.
Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to speak a first time.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Okay. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the good debate, but I think it's important to, there was a couple questions. This has nothing to do with consolidating school districts. Absolutely nothing. And if you read the bottom of the current statute, which is on this amendment, paragraph C, the legislature shall approve consolidation of educational facilities between two or more school districts. That's our deal. So this amendment has nothing to do with that. This is simply about what we do with schools that might be in the same building. How are they co-located schools? We have lots of those throughout Wyoming where we have a K-3 school and maybe a 4-8 school in the same building working the facility thing in a different way. And so there's a lot of things going on out there. It's a pretty complicated deal. So it's this deal that we're actually closing down a small school, I don't know where that has happened, where the commission is. You know, there might be one case that I remember, but this isn't going on every year and every month in Wyoming. So be careful here. I think the risk of the separation of powers issue is real, and I just don't think we go there. And I do not know of anywhere else in state government where we have given a select committee really veto power over the executive. So the separation of powers issue is huge. But then also, which has been spoken to very well on this floor, the delegation or the delegating of legislative power. And that's another real issue. And so for those really sticky reasons, I think this amendment stretches out there into an area for a problem that really doesn't exist. And so I would urge caution and your no vote on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Second time prior to sponsor, Representative Stewart, or I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, didn't see you back. You're blending in back there, camouflage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quick, forget the educational aspect of this amendment. I just want you to think about the precedent you're setting for other bills, because if this goes through, you know, you could see a bill next year that nobody gets parole unless committee number one reviews it and approves it. Or after an appropriation occurs, you know, the vouchers all need to go through committee number two, and they need to look at each one and approve them one at a time. This is a bad policy decision to allow particular legislators to have more power than their fellow legislators. We act as a body, and we need to, that's how we're supposed to perform our function, is as a body. The committees make recommendations to the body. They don't make final decisions. So I just want you to set aside the educational aspect and look at this as a precedent for other bills that may come after this.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, appreciate the good discussion, good debate. This is great. And we had a very lively debate 4 years ago when I brought this forward. Again, this is not about district to district. And of course, one needs only to look on the same page as this amendment to find where anywhere else in our statutes where we've given veto power over a commission with our legislative body. That last sentence clearly gives veto power over that commission, when in fact the commission might try and recommend combining two districts. Ladies and gentlemen, we give approval to a myriad of things that our commissions and appointed people do as they meet through the year. Now, this, fear not, this is what we do. And then we had some good discussions on this when I brought this forward, which led to an opinion from Attorney General downstairs. Rather than read the whole Attorney General opinion, we a numbered opinion that said this does not violate a separation of powers. And again, fear not, we do this all the time. And what we're talking about here, of course, is what can only be shown as forced closures. When, in fact, we have a commission looking at square footage, you know all the formulas, and we have someone come to our town and say, well, here's the deal. We're going to put all you guys together from several different towns. I can tell you that process is painful. This is a real issue, and it has come up in the past, and it will come up again, and what I'm trying to do with this amendment is to provide some legislative oversight over a very important issue in our state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate file 110, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to Senate file 110 has failed. Senate file 110 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bills 163, 184, 208, 241, 246, 248, 259, and 260.
Does anyone wish to remove any bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Stewart, an act relating to water produced from geological sequestration, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 184, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to minimum wage statutes repeal, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 208, introduced by Representative Shepperson, an act relating to off-road vehicles, registration exemption, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 241, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to statewide assessment system for school districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 246, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to the Military Department and Board of Land Commissioners dealing with National Guard disposal of land, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 248, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to unlawful protesting at a funeral, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 259, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to ethanol producer tax credit, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 260, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the industrial siting financial resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 163, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dave, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, a no vote. Are there any other changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 184, are there any changes? Byrd, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, an aye vote. Are there any other changes? Barbuto, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 208, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 241, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 246, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 248, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Miller, aye to no. Are there Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 259, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, no to aye. Harvey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 260, are there any changes? Stewart, aye to no. Swanitzer Dave, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 7 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 163, 184, 208, 241, 246, 248, 259, and 260 have passed the House. We are now at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 207.
House Bill 207, introduced by Representative Crone, an act relating to protection of activities and relating in private vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring before the body this morning third reading Amendment 1 and would ask the body to adopt that amendment. And essentially, ladies and gentlemen, this amendment eliminates my friend from Casper's two amendments relating to this bill. I attempted to craft 207 to be a real balance between private property rights and Second Amendment rights. And I really believe that after the hearing in committee, the amendments that were made, the standing committee amendments, I really believe that we achieved that. It's my belief that my friend from the center of the state's amendments really shift this bill in the opposite direction. And in fact, it takes it away from that balance that we were seeking between the individual rights to right to keep and bear arms and also the rights of private property owners. So, ladies and gentlemen of the 61st, my amendment just basically takes the bill back to where it was when it came to the floor. And I'm not going to rehash all of the debate and argument that we had. I think we had a very good debate. But I will just say that I believe that the balance is appropriate when you're dealing with these types of rights. And I believe that the original form really met that balance, both between the individual and company rights. So with that, I would urge your favorable treatment of this amendment. Thank you. And I move third reading amendment number 1.
Representative Botten.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday I stood before you encouraging you to vote for the bill because of the second reading amendment. If the third reading amendment were to pass, it would gut that whole thing, and I'm back to that long speech I gave a couple days ago. This would turn it into a serious infringement on personal property rights. It also eliminates the minute application or limitation just to the employment situation. It would now apply to each of us in our private capacities. And you know, if as a private landowner, I can tell somebody with a bumper sticker I find offensive to get off my property with it, then I think you can do that with a weapon, too. So it's a personal property right infringement. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to stand on and against this amendment. And I was a co-sponsor of the original bill because my gut reaction was, yeah, it's a gun rights issue. But the more I thought about it, I just became troubled and felt that it went too far infringing on private property owners' rights. That was why I brought this amendment. I will agree with the bringer of the bill that it does gut a lot of the purpose of the bill. I'm not going to deny that, but I just felt that the original bill didn't strike a balance because after giving it a lot of thought, I concluded that infringing on a private property owner's rights was not a balance, and decided that I would be unable to support the bill as it was originally written. So if my amendments stay on there, I'll support the bill. If this amendment passes, then I won't be able to. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concern is that it's the private property rights of me and my vehicle. It's the vehicle that we need to be protecting. All this is saying is that I can keep a gun in my vehicle, it's secured in my vehicle. And now suddenly people that I don't even know are going to start restricting where I can drive my vehicle that has a gun in it. If now I can't pull into a restaurant parking lot, I want to go to my favorite fast food restaurant, and all I want to do is go through the drive-thru. Suddenly now, if they put up a sign saying, nope, you can't come through our drive-thru, nope, we don't like guns in this state. What's to stop a city or a county from saying, you know, you can't drive on our streets with guns in your car? The private property right here is your vehicle. The sponsor of this bill built in a very nice provision on page 4. If you have a secure barrier and a fence around your parking lot, you know that you can certainly restrict. But this idea that suddenly we've taken away the property rights of an employer or a large business that suddenly says, we don't like guns, so we're not going to allow guns anywhere near this place. It's taking the position that somehow guns are bad, that somehow guns run around by themselves shooting people. Guns are a good thing. They protect you. And when you need a gun for your safety, the idea that you're going to take the gun out of your vehicle and put it somewhere else and then drive into that parking lot is just beyond me. It's not coming into your place of business. It's not coming into your factory. It's staying in the parking lot. I mean, I'd go, and I don't mean to be so radical, but I'd actually go even further. I get upset when I see that you can't take it on school property, because I keep seeing these poor kids that get expelled from our school districts in this state because they go hunting in the morning and they don't take the rifle out of the back of their vehicle, and they get to school. The kid is very good with guns. He's a responsible gun owner. And suddenly the school's like, oh, gun on the property. Kid didn't bring the gun into school. Kid wasn't going to do anything with the gun. And suddenly hunting is a bad thing in this state, that we're not allowed to go hunting before school. I urge you to support the amendment that the good sponsor is bringing that takes away the part that gutted this bill originally. Let's pass this amendment and pass the bill and protect the people of this state, that they can take guns where they need to take guns to protect themselves.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the issue we've been talking about the last two readings really involve employers' rights, and insofar as employers have property, it's the property right of the employer, and more than that, it's the worry that many of us have here that if this amendment today was allowed to come into force, that it would be impossible to enforce rules in the workplace pertaining to firearms in parking lots that are owned and there for the benefit of employees. And as a condition of employment, they feel that in order to promote and help assure workplace safety, they need this. And that's really where we were talking, what we were talking about yesterday. It wasn't, it was basically the employer and the employee, and whether a rancher that has work being done on a feedlot or something like that has any right to enforce these kind of standards on people he's employed to work for him. And, you know, the sponsor of this amendment today was actually at this mic yesterday saying that he looked at amendment number two as being a friendly amendment, and it's not friendly anymore. And I would urge you to resist this amendment so we can all feel good about approving the bill as amended yesterday. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment and for the bill. We had a good bill coming out of committee, and I urge you to support the bill as it came out of committee. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to encourage you all to look at the original bill and the way it was written. It was written very well. There's good intentions. I want you to support the amendment. I listened to a previous speaker from the northwest part of the state, and some comments that he made brought back some great memories for me. I grew up in the central part of the state, and we had four guys. We ran around together, and there was sort of a contest to see who could get out and do the duck hunt. And the first thing after school was out. We all had shotguns in our cars, and it was perfectly fine. Now that's a different thing, and we loved to hunt. We did well in school, and we were allowed to do that. Now that was brought up also that you can't go hunting after school unless you go home, because you cannot have any type of firearm in your secured vehicle on private property of lots of kinds. I wish that you support the amendment and stick with the bill as originally written. Thank you.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had quite a little experience, a history with oil refining, and of any place, you might have concerns about potentially weapons, but I can tell you that we never searched anybody's cars, and we did have policies that allowed employees to drive on site. And we recognize that these guys are hunters, and they, but we had a policy that just simply said no discharge of firearms on site either, but never a problem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peasley for your first time.
Yes, to reserve a second talk.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, to reserve a second time.
Anyone else would like to make a reservation? Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just... I've heard this represented as the companies that people are driving into are these large sort of impersonal companies, but I have a small construction company in a yard that's I pay the taxes on and is my private property. And the guys show up every morning with guns all over the place, and that's fine with me. I do object to being told what I can do and what I can't do on my own property. And that's a very basic Wyoming right that it's interesting to see Wyoming dealing with it right now, these two fundamental rights. Being on the private property side myself, I think this could open up doors for other things that would infringe on my rights. So I stand against this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm on and in favor of the amendment and the bill. I do believe we had a lot of good testimony at the committee hearing. We did make some appropriate amendments to the bill that I think made it a better bill, and I am on and in favor of the amendment and the bill as amended.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did want to clear up one thing. The second amendment of mine that was passed took out the sign requirement and restored it to only a employer-employee relationship. So this bill or amendment would have no bearing on the comment about going to your favorite restaurant or whatever. It just doesn't apply one way or the other, either the way the bill was originally written or the way it is now. So I wanted to clear up that in case there was any misconception there. The second thing that I would suggest... in response to the good Speaker Pro Tem's comments, is that I don't think the bill, as originally drafted, properly addressed the issue of property rights inside a car, because it had exceptions in it. It had other things in it. If we want to have that discussion, I think that's a valid discussion to have, but I would suggest it would be more appropriate to bring a bill that simply says, any place you've got a right to have your car, you've got a right to have a gun locked in that car, no exceptions, period. And to me, that would be the proper discussion. But my trouble with the original bill is it allowed that circumstance in some cases if it was an employer-employee relationship, but it specifically provided exceptions for restrictions there. And so to me, it didn't address the true issue. If we want to have the issue on do you have a right to have a gun in your locked car no matter where your car is, then let's bring a bill that simply addresses that issue and let's debate it. But I it was the restrictions and other things in there that really, in my mind, gave me a lot of trouble.
For second time, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we have here is an issue of private property rights and company rights and personal rights. I think we need to look very seriously at where we're going with this, because if we allow this to happen, we could have guns everywhere that we don't want them. The business owners will just be besides themselves, frankly. If this was my business and I was given this choice, I would get rid of all of the employees and not have to worry about the liability that went with it. So we need to really consider what we're doing here. I would vote down this amendment and also vote down the bill.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify, the third reading amendment actually takes out both the committee of the whole amendment, which is the one that had the signage. It also takes out the second reading amendment that did the employee. It puts it back to being an individual. So what it does is, instead of this just being between an employer and employee, it has to do with everyone coming into your parking lot. Just to clarify, that's what the third reading amendment was doing. I just wanted to mention, you know, this idea that somehow that government never gets into this issue, and that private property rights always prevails over all other rights. You know, in the 60s, this was the big issue. You know, people would make the same argument, hey, that's my hotel. You can't tell me who I can and cannot allow to stay there. And that was the big fight. And we said, no, there are some rights that trump your private property rights. In particularly, you can't say that you will not allow people of a different race not to be at your hotel. So we've done that. Because there are certain rights that do trump your private property rights. What I get concerned about is that how far does this go? That the private property owner can restrict me as to what's in my vehicle? I mean, it's sort of a silly example, but what if I smoke? If they have a no smoking policy, I understand I can't come into the building with my cigarettes, but can they pass a policy that says I can't even have cigarettes in my car, even if I'm not smoking them? It just goes too far. Again, I just urge you to support the amendment, get rid of both the Committee of the Whole amendment and the second reading amendment, and it puts it back to the way the bill came to us originally. It's a good bill. The sponsors worked hard on it, and I think it deserves to move on to the Senate. And I'd urge you to vote aye.
For your second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address a few of the comments that were made, first of all, from my good friend from the county northeast of here, regarding the second reading amendment, I was in support of that and viewed that as a friendly amendment as it related to the Committee of the Whole amendment. So if the Committee of the Whole amendment would stay in place, I think that the second reading amendment makes a lot of sense. However, the point of the third reading amendment, of course, is to eliminate both of those amendments from my friend from the center of the state. You know, this bill, ladies and gentlemen, does not restrict employers from making reasonable regulations in regard to their employees. It simply says that if an employee wants to have an employee who is otherwise entitled to carry a firearm, not a convicted felon, not currently the object of a protection order, has not been adjudicated mentally ill, wants to keep a firearm in his or her car, they can. It doesn't restrict employers from saying no guns within the facility, no guns actually outside at a work area. It doesn't do that. That's why I believe this is narrowly tailored. It says, in effect, if you are able to have a firearm and you want to have that firearm for personal protection or for hunting purposes, you can have that. You can have that in your vehicle. So with that being said, I really believe that this is a compromise bill. It meets in the middle. It provides protection for Wyoming citizens. And I would strongly urge you to vote for the third reading amendment. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 207, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 207 has been adopted. House Bill 207 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery. Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
no.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer, Green,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Lubnow? Lubnow, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Greer, no to aye. Harvey, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 ayes, 23 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 207, having received the affirmative vote of the members, the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 207 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Roscoe, an act relating to motor vehicles, natural gas vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 235 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Mr. Speaker, I want to talk a little bit about this bill today because I'm concerned. We're spending $1 million of state dollar money to build a natural gas filling station at a Wydot facility in the middle of I-80 in the state of Wyoming. And we've sat on this floor and we've cut $15,000 from here, and we've taken money. We've taken money for the archives to store our archives, and we reduced that from $155,000 for a bid to be able to get those up and sort it out and put in places. And we've cut that to $55,000. We do all these types of things, and then we come along and say, well, but this is good. This will stir interest in natural gas vehicles. And not only does it take this $1 million of state general fund money, and we retrofit them. We're going to tell some of our state agencies, you've got to retrofit some of your vehicles to use this. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If they go too far, they've got to still be able to use the other fuel that they've got. So I'm just here to say I'm just uncomfortable with starting down this road where we're going to do this stimulation ourselves when I think that this belongs in the private sector. When the private sector decides that they're going to put these things in, the vehicle manufacturers will start to manufacture vehicles that will do this. And that's how I think, that's what should be driving our economy. Not us taking $1 million and starting a natural gas filling station in the middle of I-80.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker, speaking on and against the amendment, and there's two reasons why. And what we've done here and what we would like to do is have the delivery point of our natural gas far closer than it currently is. And the major way to do that is to create transportation as a consumer rather than pumping it all back east. But how about just the mathematical reason? If we do this, and by the way, we have our own filling station right now for gas, and this is to put in a natural gas fuel station. For us. We can't have, I remind you, we can't have the public filling up on this because it's unconstitutional. And that's why it isn't open. And where this is placed is a good point if we're going to have these vehicles to have them refilled. And this is where we also keep several of our cars. The $1 million is made up of two separate pieces. 400,000 retrofits about 40 cars. 600,000 builds a station. But the reason we should do it is also for mathematical reasons, as we start saving money as a state on our fleet. This at $1.25 differential, we remind you, between the price of gas and the decreased price of natural gas, this pays for itself in 7 years. We're currently at that's a $1.25 differential. We currently sit at a $1.43 differential. And then that's just based on this first load. That isn't based on moving forward retrofitting vehicles. It's also not based on if we get our own mechanics to do it and we can cut the total price from $10,000 a vehicle to $5,000 a vehicle. We start to become, and freeing up more dollars in our state, more total dollars to spend on whatever it is that you want, whether that's more highway money, whether that's more money for whatever we need to fill it for, or even opportunities for decreased taxes in time. This just makes good financial sense. And so I'd urge the body to resist the amendment and vote for the bill.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against this amendment and for this bill, I think it's time we look progressively towards the future. And we can start out with our state vehicles. And I want to remind everybody that natural gas is the thing of the future here. We're going to retrofit some of these new vehicles or some of the older vehicles. Maybe as newer vehicles come along with the natural gas already in them, we can buy some of these vehicles. But I think it's time we look at this and vote for this and see if we can get something done this year instead of waiting maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, and maybe we'll come back and say, I wish we would have acted on it right then. So against the amendment and for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, for the amendment, against the bill, I don't have a problem with doing the projects. Natural gas projects are a good idea. Won't disagree with that. And eventually we're going to do that. And I thoroughly agree because I've been investigating this for probably the last 10, 12 years. Natural gas is the next one to come up as far as our alternative fuel. However, that being said, the cost of the facility, in my opinion, is not enough. The cost of the vehicles is not enough. So when you determine the payout, it's going to take more. Also, the gas mileage for the vehicles is going to be less, not more. In one station, ain't going to be enough. So the point is that I don't have a bit of problem with doing projects like this, but I think the economics on it should be correct. And I honestly don't think that we've got the correct numbers in determining how this project can go forward. I mean, I have obtained this information from people in the Dallas, Texas area that have been doing this for a number of years. They didn't do it on a small scale. They've been doing it on a large scale. I agree with doing things like this, but let's bring a bill back with the correct information. So on and for the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, I definitely am for the amendment against the bill. I sat on the Transportation Committee, heard the testimony on this bill. And I'd just like to call to the body's attention that we have two natural gas stations in the state of Wyoming that was mentioned that are subject behind this bill. One is in this particular city. The other is over on the far west. Wouldn't it be a prudent course of action here that if we converted natural gas vehicles, say 10 in each department, and what are the departments I'm talking about? One's Department of Transportation. The second is A&I in the bill. If we converted 10 vehicles in each department and made sure that what the costs were, because the costs are wide open here, we don't know. And then the next component part, run those vehicles around these local stations in these local areas, because they have a radius of around 100 miles, 150 miles, something like that, and try that for a period of time and see where we're at. I think we're plunging over a cliff here. If the state of Wyoming engages in constructing a station for natural gas in the middle part of the state, that I think may be something we don't want to get involved with until we know exactly what the costs are on retrofit, how well it's received by the drivers of these vehicles, department heads, without mandating, one, we're going to do this, and two, we're going to build this station, and three, we hope it all works, because if we don't, we'll throw more money at it. And that's what I think is wrong. I'm for the amendment and against the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, when you step into something like converting our government vehicles, you need a learning curve to come up on. And so to push back on the suggestion that there isn't enough money or it isn't in depth as much, I think you got to start somewhere, and I think this is a good start. We're going to learn a lot about the operations. We're going to learn a lot about the conversion, the maintenance that goes into it, and the acceptance of gas-fired and a different natural gas-fired and different fuels and what that takes out of just operating a fleet, and a big fleet when you look at what we have in the state. So I think it's a good start. And I'd like to just say one more time, natural gas is a domestic resource that we don't have to worry about imports into this country, and it can provide a segment of our transportation with reliability and not pressure from other places that might not be as friendly to us as the natural gas sources are in Wyoming or in the U.S. and this part of the continent. I urge your defeat of the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Lux, for your first time.
Rising for the amendment against the bill. To me, it's just it's black and white. There's private sector and there's public sector. I guess if we're in favor of doing something like this, I would like to see us do something creative and make some incentives for our local convenience stores or our local providers to provide that service themselves other than relying on government to build it. Thank you.
Chairman Korberg, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I was a no vote in committee on this bill, and really during the course of the discussion of this bill on the in this good body, I still have not heard any compelling evidence to change my vote to an aye vote. I do support this amendment, and I am would encourage you to defeat the bill. I think probably what I was most disappointed over in the testimony was that we had done the study, but not even one vehicle of the fleet, which, you know, could have been converted for the $10,000, not even one vehicle had been converted and even tried. There are privately owned filling stations in this county that we could have purchased natural gas from. We could have had some type of a track record that would have given me more comfort that we should move ahead with the project and invest no less than $600,000 in infrastructure. So, you know, I still think that if this bill does not move forward, I still think there's plenty of opportunity for our agencies to convert several vehicles, start using them, gauge their mileage, and come back to us with some better information. So I am in favor of the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, against the amendment for the bill. Folks, I think for any of our state motor pool to convert, we're going to have to provide an appropriation. I mean, we're going to have to provide that and set policy for them to do that. We have not done that to this point. As far as telling state agencies to do, I mean, they've come to us with a study that we requested, and the testimony that we received in committee was that this is not a burden. This is something they're excited to get going and showed the math that this is going to make financial sense. The other part about the private public sector, every YDOT station, every school district, every city, county, nearly all of them have their own fuel stations and gasoline and diesel fuel stations. So this is not something that we haven't done with our Department of Transportation and State motor pool. So it's just a different fuel. We build fuel stations all across the state. Secondly, my good friend from House District 50 commented that he didn't think this was enough money, that he knows these figures aren't accurate. And I guess I would just say, I mean, we work on all our bills off of fiscal notes and studies that are brought to us. And I guess if there is more information out there, please share it with us. But we're simply working off the numbers that were brought to us through a study that we asked for. So that's really it. So this one station will be strategic in that it'll open up all of I-80 because we can use the public stations on each corner, the southeast and the southwest, and have one in the middle. So we're behind the private sector. Many of our largest energy companies and the largest taxpayers in this state are already way ahead of us, and we have a sizable motor vehicle pool, and I encourage us to really get going on this. So against the amendment, for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Against the amendment and for the bill, we're focusing, I think, in part on the wrong part of the discussion for this bill. I'm a member of a large organization of folks who work for the energy industry or represent the energy industry. And all of my friends are spending a lot of time in eastern states these days because there, of course, is a huge natural gas play in the eastern part of the country and in the southern part of the country. And suddenly our natural gas is not as wonderful to the world as it used to be. This is about taking a small step to encourage a new market for the product that funds our being here, that funds so much of what we do in the state. And the current hub price in the southern part of the country is $4.24 an MCF, which probably means the Wyoming price is a little lower. This is all about taking a small step to develop a market, to help develop and encourage a market for our most important commodity. We do this sort of thing all the time, and frankly, we are behind our neighbor to the southwest. I also am part of a council funded by this body. In a different meeting than the one attended by the good gentleman from the northern part of the state, we learned that our I-80 corridor was a perfect location to start considering these kinds of fueling stations. So I think this is an important first step for us to take to try and develop markets and improve the price for Wyoming's most important commodity. Thank you.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you. Not to become too redundant, but we all heard during our campaigns people wanting jobs. They want jobs, they want long-term jobs, and they want to know that we have a long-term plan for extending our minerals industry. And this takes just a gigantic step forward in advancing this potential for all of those things for our state.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing is with this bill, the strategic location of the fueling station, it lets us prove the long-distance capability of these vehicles. With this, they can go border to border on Interstate 80 and keep running natural or compressed natural gas, liquefied natural gas, and prove the concept. As I said in initial floor debate on this, I would like to have seen the bill go farther. There is money in there to convert a vehicle or several vehicles to run strictly on natural gas. At that point, you do increase the mileage. You do let them build the longevity that comes with these type of vehicles. And this is no different than 25 years ago when propane-powered vehicles were the rage when gas prices started going up and that numerous people operated them. This lets us prove the long-range capability in the state motor pool. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. At this point, I'm for the amendment, I think. I mean, to me, we've got two separate bills here, two separate questions. And the one that really, really troubles me is the $600,000 to build a station that can only be utilized by state vehicles. And these state vehicles, I think, I don't have that handout from yesterday, but it said that the money to retrofit some vehicles would be 30 or 40 vehicles. I think I'm right on that, but if I'm wrong, it can be corrected. But if that's the case, we've got a potential of 30 or 40 vehicles plus whatever other vehicles that's already been retrofitted that's available to be utilizing this $600,000 facility. Now, my question is, isn't there some departments, some vehicles, and therefore some vehicles that are located within, a filling range of some of the existing stations that exist in the Southwest, and do an experiment that way and find out how much money they're saving? And as long as we're on that, you know, the issue that has come up is that, well, this is going to save us money. And I'm wondering if this is really true, why we have not found departments already doing this that are in this area that I'm talking about. I'm trying to imagine and get my arms around how busy this station is going to be that we're spending $600,000 on as an experiment. And knowing I'm too old to work there, but I wouldn't mind having that job because I can't see that you'd be very busy day in and day out. And that's the kind of employment that appeals to me. But if somebody can tell me how this is a good deal and what the long-range plans for this $600,000, is it something that we could put up for bid and sell sometime? Once we realize that it's not going to work, somebody else might buy it, or even if it does decide that it is working, are we going to ever sell it then, or this is just jumping into territory that I don't think we've really thought out. Again, I think if it was a good deal to save money, we have some wise department heads and managers within state government that already would have been investing in these things already and to save money in their budget so the rest of the money would go further in their activities. So thank you very much on that. I'm for the amendment, against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment and for the bill. And I wanted to mention specifically that this particular fuel station is not being constructed specifically and only for state vehicles. It was specifically put into the bill that it would be for all government vehicles. That would include school districts. That would include community colleges. One of the exciting things that I think to be learned by this pilot project, this demonstration project, goes into the future of school districts and school buses. Yes, it costs more money to convert a school bus. I see schools with their and buses with their closed-circuit routes every day, leaving the school bus barn, going out around the community, picking up kids, coming back, delivering their kids into that point of takeoff with the opportunity to refuel. I think there is in it, we want to learn about it, but we want to learn how the application on a closed-circuit school system might really have advantage. There's not money in this particular bill to outfit a school district bus because it specifically says YDOT and ANI or Department of Transportation and ANI. But some enterprising school district may see close to a fuel station that we're going to construct, may see the advantage of conducting their own pilot project, converting a school bus for just that kind of learning on their daily route system. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just going to reserve my second time, and I believe hopefully everything will be brought out by then.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, I had an interesting conversation with the director of the school that we have spent considerable money on to address our natural resources issue. And I was talking to him one time, and I said, you know, we have all this abundance of gas in our state, and we're really not getting the value that we probably ought to get for it, or the values that we've seen from time to time. And he said, you know, I've always wondered. He said, have you thought about the different ways that you could pass the benefits of that cheap energy along to your citizens? And it really boils down to two ways. But I don't know that we've ever thought about one of those two ways. If the price is high, then we sell it, and we get our severance tax, and we get our income from it, and our citizens benefit in that way. If the price is low and it's going out of the state at a price that we don't think is advantageous, then he said, why don't you think about this? Why don't you think about passing the benefit of that low price on to your citizens? Well, how would you do that? Well, one thing we could do that at least is worthy of some thought is we could subsidize the conversion of vehicles from gas to natural gas, the conversion. And then we already have a distribution system in our state. We're not talking about building this thing from the ground up and put our citizens in a position where they can enjoy the benefit of that cheap price by making use of it as an alternative to regular gasoline. So this is sort of a little bit of a variation of that, maybe, is how do we pass the benefit of that gas along to our citizens? Well, I don't know. That's kind of wild, although it's interesting. He told me he thought for probably an average price of $1,200, you could convert vehicles from burning only gasoline to burning a combination of natural gas and gasoline. And you just simply turn a petcock and you can burn one or the other. Well, what if we did subsidize, just as a wild thought, what if we did subsidize half of that? And we said, we'll pay $600 for any vehicle in the state that wants to convert. And what would that do to the natural gas industry in terms of passing the benefit of that cheap price along to our citizens in a form that they could take advantage of it? So it's just a thought. Well, where am I going here? What about creating a critical mass here? If we build this thing in Rawlins and we convert our state vehicles, maybe we have to build another one somewhere else, but I'm thinking at some point we're going to create a critical mass where some enterprising entrepreneur up in the northern part of the state says, I can see a critical mass. I can see enough predictability in this market and enough guaranteed consumption that I'll go ahead and front end the cost of a natural gas fueling station. And he front ends that, where right now he says, I can't see how I can take the risk. I can't see how I can come out on it. I can go build one in Rawlins right now. There's no guarantee that I'm going to sell it to anybody. So we've tried the same thing with airlines. We've tried the same thing a lot of places. But in the end, the real question to me is, I think our natural gas is too cheap. And I wish that we could find a way, if we can't take the tax revenue and pass that on to our citizens, I wish we could find another way to pass the savings on. Well, the way to pass the savings on is make use of that product that's cheap to the benefit of our citizens. So there are a couple of ideas. If we could ever get to a critical mass, then I don't think we'll have to build any more of these stations. I think somebody will say, well, that's going to take off. And if we could ever get the thing going, get the critical mass, put it together, and get it started, then entrepreneurs would see a predictable situation where they can build fueling stations. Individuals who want to convert their vehicles would see a predictable situation where they can make use of it, and our gas becomes competitive. And there's so much gas back east. There's so much gas in other parts of the country. I'm convinced this price is going to stay low. And it wouldn't take all that much on our part to create a situation where our citizens who live where the gas is can take real advantage. So against the amendment and on the bill.
Okay, we're on to second times. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, I am not against the concept. Get that very straight. And as far as fuels like that in vehicles, it wasn't 40 years ago. It was 70 years ago because my dad ran a company that put LPG in vehicles, and we had them in pickups in 1950. That much I know about it because my father was in that business. Also, because of my degree, I've been involved in natural gas issues as well as propane, butane, etc. Now, the difference between the propane and the butane and the natural gas, you're jumping from a pressure of maybe 1,000, 1,500 pounds per square inch with the butane and propane issues up to 5,000 pounds with natural gas. So the service stations that they're talking about and the vehicles they're talking about, they aren't going to have a little hand toggle switch that you turn to switch from gasoline to natural gas. From a safety standpoint, it'd blow your engine up or blow up the system that you have. So let's use a little sense on this. The legislator from a state to the south of us, better known as the second largest state in the union, the one to the north of us is the biggest one, a legislator was talking about bringing a bill for that state to do exactly what this bill is doing. He stopped because it was too expensive. And as I said, the service stations, the ones that he investigated, they weren't $600,000. They were anywhere from $1.8 million to $2.5 million. And the conversion of the vehicles were about $16,000. Not $10,000, not $5,000. I was actually considering a bill for this state. The thing that he said, instead of going to natural gas, we ought to be considering propane. Now, up in this part of the country, it would have to be propane. We couldn't use butane because there's a thing that you can't really use butane in elevations such as this. At least it's going to be difficult. I am not against the concept, but what I explained is I don't think there's enough money in the bill, which means that they're going to do the project, part of the project, and then come back and say we need more money. Also, I think you need to study whether you really need more than one service station, so you aren't talking about, if they prove that that price of $600,000 is right, you're going to need more than one service station along that I-80 corridor. What I'm saying is you need to look at this a lot closer. You need to study the issue and come up with some more accurate cost. I'd be more than happy to work with the legislator on the issue to determine what the accurate costs are and what is feasible along I-80, whether it be natural gas or it be propane. I agree we need alternative fuels. Not with this bill. For the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Anyone? Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't belabor the points. There have been a lot of good discussion and a lot of really good points. I would just like to say that Wyoming looked at this in an extensive study that just came out last year, and the people that made this study are the people that run our fleets in the state. They're the people that know how their vehicles work, and they suggested this and are very enthusiastic about it. And whether this thing takes off or not,
this pilot project will be saving the state money, counting the gas station, within 10 years. All the conversions will be paid back, as we mentioned before, in 3.4 years. I think just looking at it strictly as an economic investment, it is a good deal. Natural gas vehicles are being used all over the country. On the coast, they're using them. Mainly, they work where fleets, just like this pilot project is designed for. So they're worked on the they work on these docks, unloading, and they get used a lot, and then they fill up every night at the same place. That's basically what we're doing here. We're having a station, and the fleet will come back and fill up there. The departments that run these really do want these things. And let me go back to the one point about if private industry will do this. Private industry is doing it. They're converting their fleets where the natural gas is up in the Jonah Field and the Anticline. They're building a station in Marbleton. They're building a station in Riverton. Also, there's a station right here in this town that has been run for 20 years by the public utility here. And I haven't figured out how much money they've saved, but they came and testified in committee as well, and they were in favor of it. The numbers I got, just to ease a little bit of ease your mind about the cost, I took the number for the station and took it from YDOT. And when it got to committee, they thought maybe that wasn't enough, and they bumped it up in committee. It's not really what I wanted, but so I called one of the largest taxpayers in the state, a huge natural gas company, last night, and found out that yes, this station that they're talking about with 150 Phillips a day in Rawlins can be built for $600,000. And the conversion cost and the gas per gallon equivalent are all those numbers have been vetted and studied by our departments. So I guess I'd like to encourage you to vote down this amendment and vote for the bill. It's great for Wyoming. It's good for our economy. The private sector is behind this bill. They're hoping that this will get us past the chicken and the egg, so we have some get some conversion started and some stations started and get moving and using our own natural resources. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Well, everybody, this has been a great discussion. I didn't mean to cut into our lunch hour. Two or three points is all I want to make. It sounds to me like we're talking about we need to do this so we can study this and we can do some of these other things. Now we have people getting up and making testimony that this has already been being done. It's being done in this state. It's being done in other states surrounding us. So we should have a lot of data available to us. All we have to do is find out about it. Then another thing. We have three existing public facilities right now. Along the I-80 corridor. Why do we need to build another one? We can make contracts with these people for this state equipment, and I'm going to name them because it's important. We've talked about we're going to build the one in Rawlins. It says that. They're at Evanston. They're at Rock Springs, according to the handout that we have here. And there's one in Cheyenne. It says they're public. There's five private ones. So why are we needing to do this? Well, we could retrofit some vehicles. If that's what the body wants to do, we could retrofit some vehicles and contract with these private stations. Why do we want to build one of these things? So that's a point. Then another thing, we're talking about subsidizing one industry in Wyoming to compete with another one of our industries in Wyoming. That is really, really, that bothers me also. So with that said, I'll just call the question and withdraw the third reading amendment.
With no objection, the amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 235, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Lickry.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Rechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Nope.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 26 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 235, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 235 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro tem, I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We are in recess until 2 p.m. Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess. We're going to finish discussing Senate File 14, Counties Election Districts, Senate File 45, Engrossed Professional Services Procurement, Senate File 147, Services of Process Fees, and we'll begin work on Senate File 113, Engrossed Surveyors and Engineers Practice Act Revisions.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Friday morning at 7:30 a.m., where we will continue testimony and work Senate File 47, Concealed Weapons, Senate File 48, Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Account Board, and Senate File 62, Large Project Funding.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, February 10th, 10 minutes after adjournment. We will hear 3 bills, Senate File 51, Engrossed Safety Belt Violations, Senate File 72, Fair Practices of Equipment Act Amendment, and Senate File 115, DUI Child Endangerment Fines.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 15 minutes upon adjournment today in room H17 to hear Senate File 59, Engrossed Spice Drugs, Senate File 90, Engrossed Wyoming Nurse Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 25, Engrossed Long-Term Services and Support.
Any more announcements? Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet Thursday at 8:30 a.m. to hear re-referred bills, Senate File 33, State Parks Acquisition of Land, Senate File 9, Economic Analysis, Senate File 91, Wildlife Livestock Disease Research Partnership Funding. Thank you.
Representative Barbuto, did you want to announce where you're having lunch?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, the Minority Caucus will caucus at the corner of 19th and Central, or more accurately, in the building at 19th and Central. You're all invited to attend. Thank you.
Majority Party will be caucusing downstairs in B63. We are now in recess until 2 p.m.